Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains, you are at your spot, your place, where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today, we have Patricia Hunica, and we are going to have a very spirited conversation. We're going to talk about the beautiful oracle card that she created. She's an author. Talk a little bit about herbal medicine, you know, that is really becoming extremely popular. And also recreational here in the United States, and she's in Australia, so we want to make sure that we're very clear about what we're doing, what is the purpose, what is the benefits, but also some of the telltale warning signs. She has a meditation guide that she's going to offer us too, so that we can go deep, so that we can learn to quiet the monkey mind and receive the downloads of prosperity, wisdom, and encouragement. So let's welcome her to the show. How are you, Patricia Hunica?
I'm feeling very well today and very inspired. It's suddenly got very sunny outside. Spring's here in Canberra. All the flowers are out in my magical herbal healing garden. Mm. I've actually picked a beautiful damask rose today.
Ooh, that is beautiful.
And the smell is divine.
Oh,
it's just divine.
Wow.
It's really heart opening.
I love to put a few of those in my bathtub. You know, I'm a person for a bath. People don't take baths like they used to and relax. They're all into this shower stuff. Showers are okay.
Yeah.
But when I really want to luxuriate, I take a nice bath and with beautiful rose petals or lavender or something fresh in the water. Makes me feel so good. So you make me feel good too. I want to hear a little bit about
like Queen Nefertiti.
Absolutely.
Like Queen Nefertiti.
Absolutely.
Cleopatra.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to hear a little bit about your story, your journey, and your truth. But before we get started, let's set the tone. Let's set the intention. Why don't you pull an oracle card for us? And then I'm going to ask you more about that. And we can, you know, we can set the vibe.
Okay. I'll do that. I'll just tune in. Surrounding us all with the beautiful golden light, divine golden light of healing now. Oh, I've got a card that's come out at me. Oh, that's an interesting card. It's the card number 22, which is a very magical number. And it's the card of Mugwort, the divine feminine. Mm-hmm. And see how it's got that shield of protection. It's about protection. And the message is, I connect with my inner divine feminine moon energy to calm my senses. So mugwort is growing in my garden at the moment. And it's a wonderful nerving to calm our senses. And
well, that's the first thing that you
protect us.
That's the first thing you brought up was, you know, the queendom, Nefertiti. So it's definitely in alignment. So we're going to talk about the feminine energy and the power behind all of that. Tell my brains a little bit about you and how you show up in the world, Patricia.
Yes. Okay. I'd love to. Years ago, actually, I was very unwell. And I also had a son who was very unwell. And I connected to all sorts of healers. Nothing sort of helped him. But then one day I read about a herbal medicine course that was starting here in Canberra with a wonderful healer who's now passed on called Kim Dudley. This place called the Hierophant, which is the meaning of the fifth card in the tarot of the healer, the wisdom seeker. I attended herbal medicine classes there, and the first herb I've learned about was a herb called mullein, which grows all around the hills of Canberra as well, and I think it grows in the United States as well. And my son suffered from very bad ear infections and coughs, bronchitis, that sort of thing. And when I gave him the mullein tincture, the herbal tincture of mullein in a couple of drop doses, this is the first herb we learned about in the class, his cough, ear infection just miraculously got better. And I had tried so many things before. So I realized that, I was getting back to the earth for healing. And I started, I suppose, really by growing herbs, by then using them as in my cooking, then using them as teas, and then learning about the medicinal properties of them. And I felt it to be a very empowering and grounding experience. It was very empowering to know that, when my young children got ill with all sorts of things like croup and colds and infections, that I had a little medicine chest, the
Absolutely.
women's medicine chest, that could help them. So I didn't have to run for antibiotics all the time and this sort of thing. So I was teaching then, I was a school teacher. And when I was 40, I finally left school. But I went to a different school. I went to, I suppose, a spiritual earth school. I went to learn about herbs. I went to learn about Siddha yoga meditation. I went to learn about pranic healing, about Ayurvedic healing, or energy healing, making herbs and tinctures, cultivating my
Now,
medicinal
what? Let
healing
me
garden,
ask you,
which is in
what is it?
flight at the moment.
Let me ask you a question. When you say tinctures, is that a tea or is that a
No, it's drops. It's drops. It's the herb in alcohol. It's the herb in brandy. This is the traditional way that Western herbal medicine makes herbal tinctures. The brandy or alcohol, sometimes they use vodka, draws out the medicinal properties of the herb, and then you filter it and then you administer it in drop doses. So I have 360 different herbal tinctures in my herbal medicine dispensary here in my clinic. When I was in around about 42, 43, I set up my healing clinic here. I studied with a wonderful herbalist called Dorothy Hall, who also established the Australian Traditional Medicine Society here in Australia and was instrumental in bringing herbal medicine back to Australia in the 80s and 90s. She's now passed on. She taught a wonderful system of iridology in herbal medicine, looking in people's irises and looking at their constitutions
That's what they
and
did.
matching up a remedy with that for them personally.
Well, I kind of got a remedy when I was in Beijing. They looked at my tongue, they looked at my eyes, and they checked my liver, my kidney, and my spleen right here at my wrist. And it was minimally evasive, but let me tell you, that was a diagnosis that has stuck with me ever since. And I
Yes.
noticed in Asia there is a lot of herbal medicine, but I love to tell this story. So I
Yes.
go there and I go into the herbal shop after seeing a doctor that I had no idea I was supposed to see, but I was told that it was a part of my destiny. And I come home and I have 2 8-ounce mugs full of these herbs. And I start to hallucinate. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? I'm seeing things, the psychedelic things are moving fast. Then all of a sudden, they're moving really slow. I was like, what is going on? And my husband goes, well, what did you do? And I said, I just had a couple mugs full of tea. And I said, it was a tea I brought back from Beijing. And he said, well, how did they serve it to you? And I said, oh, in little 2 ounce cups. I had had 16 ounces of that stuff.
Wow.
What people have to understand is that herbal medicine is nothing to play with. It's not something
No.
that you can just go into the store and, oh, okay, well, I'll take this, this, this. You have to understand the effects, the reactions that it could have on you, how it could affect your digestive system, how can it really affect your blood pressure, your heart rate, if you have an allergic reaction, you need to work with a trained professional like Patricia, someone that knows and has studied these things, the combinations. We fail to realize that medications are derived from plants because they're plant medicine. Just think, once upon a time, the Native Americans would grab a coca leaf and eat it. Now someone figured out how to make it synthetic, and we have people that are addicted to cocaine. So it's not about trial and error. It's about understanding what you need and looking at how these things are also in combination, because it can be a wonderful thing, but it's also a lifestyle. Wouldn't you, can't really mix this stuff. And you have to continue to do it for a long period of time, forever.
Yes. And actually, I found out that I have a long tradition of herbal medicine healers in my ancestry from Poland and Germany, and also in past lives. I found out that I had a strong connection to St. Hildegard of Bingen, that 12th century mystic. And she popped up, of course, a lot during my training and during my journey into my own healing and to healing others. The secret, of course, that I learnt from Dorothy Hall, the well-known herbal medicine college that she established here in Australia and taught about, was that you're always looking for people's constitutional remedy, right? Looking at their iris, you're seeing their constitution, and you're seeing where they're out of balance in their constitution. And she taught a wonderful system of matching up herbal medicine and also nutritional supplements with that specific constitution. And that's why it works so well, and is also very safe, of course. So yes, there's always that safety factor with herbal medicine. But what I've found is that with herbal medicine, it will always take you to the next sort of step in your evolution. I have seen it as a path of spirituality, of evolving the soul, of evolving the person, because whatever insight you get in your meditation or through your life experience, you can always ground it in the reality of the earth and the earth mother and healing from the earth. And this is just so important, because many people have experiences in life that, you know, that bring them new realizations, as you probably did when you went to Beijing and had those herbs. They probably brought you into a whole new way of thinking.
They did. I was all but it also went into the subconscious mind, you know.
That's right.
You know, I was sitting there when I thought I was tripping, I was seeing things, but then what actually came to pass 2 or 3 weeks later were startling realizations of aha moments and connecting the dots. And I was like, wow. So what could I really have benefited from if I had worked with someone through this and understood someone to interpret? Because you do need someone to interpret it. You get all these mixed messages, and you've never experienced this past life before. You don't know who these people are. You don't know what this is telling you. So it's very, very powerful, the work that you've done. How have you been able to ground yourself outside of the herbs? Because you're taking on a lot of energy. You're going to the outer realm. You are dealing with not just the human meat suit, the superficial, but you're dealing with universal energy and source energy. What do you do to ground yourself?
Well, the greatest aid for grounding myself has actually been the herbs, has been being in touch with Mother Earth, grounding it into Mother Earth. And I do this through the herbs, because the herbs come from Mother Earth. Mother Earth supplies everything we need. Mother Earth tells us everything we need. When we connect deeply with the earth energies, like the indigenous people do, with the spirit of the place, we're grounded. That's how we ground ourselves, because we live on this earth planet. And so, you know, people can do this in other ways, but that's how I've done it, through the plants, through the plant kingdom.
Do you do other extrasensual work, as far as maybe grounding yourself, because there's a lot of beaches there in Australia. Do you do that? Do you
I have myself
That way,
I
I'll
have done
surround myself with trees. I love to
a lot of hiking. I've done a lot of walking. I've done bushwalks, 6 day bushwalks. I've connected sort of I have this, after a while, you just have this automatic connection with the earth through the plants. They just take you there. They just take you there. It's quite magical, really, right? And they also help to raise your own energy. And I do meditate. I meditate a lot. I had great good fortune of finding a meditation teacher, a guru, a Siddha yoga guru, who has helped me heaps and has given me also the great blessing of going deep into meditation, and also given me the great blessing of the awakening of my own divine golden light energy, which I received in 2003. It's coming up to nearly 20 years of anniversary of this incredible event, and I could perhaps let you know how this evolution of energy and pranic healing and herbs and meditation brought me to the realization of my own inner golden light being. I could perhaps read you something from my book, Living in the Golden Light, which I wrote about this experience in. And then, of course, what I did with the experience was ground it in the herbs, ground it in the plants, and energize the essences with that golden light energy, which is the profound energy of the creator. It's creation energy. It's the source energy of who we really are. I could read you a little bit if you'd like about
Go
my
ahead.
experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I went to Guru Maya's Siddha Yoga Ashram in upstate New York, in the Catskill Mountains, near South Fallsburg, in the state of New York, in October 2003, and we had a big meditation intensive there on the weekend. I stayed there a month, but at the end of the month, at the end of October, there was a big intensive meditation weekend. And I arrived at the intensive, and yes, I fell deeply, deeply into meditation. And of course, I felt this sort of being bathed in grace, bathed in sort of this energy of grace. And Guru Maya spoke about surrender, the sweet surrender in strength to our own inner divinity, to the golden flame within our own hearts. I felt a deep trust and relaxation coming over me. I felt so completely loved and supported. Quite spontaneously, I had a vision of Guru Maya and her guru, Baba Muktananda, merging into the great red pulsating heart of Jesus. Mother Mary was also there. All these great ones merged into one. And suddenly, quite suddenly, out of my face emerged a beautiful golden light being. It stood before me. In wonderment, I asked, "Who are you?" And I received the answer, and they sort of looked at me as though, "Are you dumb or what? I'm you, of course. Who else?" My whole body started shaking uncontrollably. And luckily, a person called Sheila, looking after us in the hall, came to help me to ground me. She comforted me and gave me a banana to eat. I was so overcome with intense emotion. Ooh. It took some time for me to return to normal consciousness. I was in total awe of my experience. I was spellbound. I was totally amazed. What did this mean? Yes, I am the golden light of consciousness. The awareness came to me that this is who we all are in truth. This inner golden treasure is within us all. just waiting to be recognized and released. I felt totally loved, totally relaxed, and free of any tension, at one with all life, everyone and everything. All seemed possible again. An incredible energy surged up my spine into every cell of my being. I knew that I had finally caught a glimpse of God, in inverted commas, while still in my physical body. God was within me and part of me. The greatest good fortune had descended on me. I was home. I had no idea what would happen to me in my life from then on, but I had regained the trust that it could only be good, no matter what it was. A lot of fear left me, especially any fear of God that I had felt in the past. I felt worthy of this experience and realized that the greatest trick the little ego has is to try and convince us that we are not worthy of knowing and experiencing our own great golden light of divinity. This is a really trick of the ego.
Yeah. It really is, and it's very powerful because I can see that it still takes you back to that place.
Oh, it certainly does.
Well, you said something that really resonated with me. I had a very powerful meditation about 4 or 5 days ago. And the message that I received was also surrender. And I didn't understand what was I to give up. It was to be vulnerable. It was to let someone else guide. You don't always have to be in control. That it is a peaceful place, that it is a relaxed place, and that you will be taken care of.
That's
so
right.
I totally, you know, I got goosebumps when you said that, because I was like, wow, so this is, you know, surrendering is a very real thing. And brains, I want you to consider that. We're always trying to control something. We're always trying to be the boss. As my mother said, you know, you always want to be the head, but you never want to be the tail. You know, so you have to be careful with that. You also talked about meditation. In all transparency, that is something that I had to pull back on because my meditations were so intense. I would get these massive downloads. And with these downloads, I felt like I had to have, I needed to act upon them. But what I came to realize and working with some people was that these are intricate pieces to a puzzle. You don't have to put the puzzle all together right now. You have the information. And when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And it will all be in alignment. Again,
That's
it's
right.
about the control, you know. But I asked the universe, I said, could you give me this in bite-sized pieces? Don't give me the whole chicken. Just give me the nuggets.
I've had that experience too.
Because it was a lot of experience.
Yeah.
Now, with meditation is very powerful. I have a friend here that has just been removed or released, or she's left a guru of 30 years. And she said that this guru really did a number on her. She said that she was brainwashed. That she was controlled, she was manipulated. And when she says his name, her body kind of makes a different kind of, you know, it seems like she goes into an altered state. She said he would make her meditate for 4 hours a day on end. Every day that she goes to work, since she's left there, she's got to pass this house. And in this house, there's about 20 other people. Now, I am not saying that this is negative by any way, because I will be 100% transparent from my perspective. Any religion is a form of mind control and discipline and manipulation. Okay, it is to keep you in line, you know? But when you free yourself and you are able to go to these places and talk and be with source energy one-on-one, it's a totally different experience because all your fear is removed. There's a certain clarity, there's a certain peace that comes upon you. Did you feel that when you were going through this
Oh,
experience?
yes, it was a magical place. I mean, you just had to think of something and it happened. It was like being in a different dimension. It was, and of course, it was taking you to your own experience of your
Your
divine
own
self.
individual
This is the,
experience, right? It
yes, that's
wasn't
right.
the
That's
collective.
what, don't want you here anymore. You go away and take what you've learned here to the world. I want to take you to the experience of your inner divine self. And she was fierce about it. I mean, it was really fierce love, and a fierce energy of understanding who you really were. She was going to
Right.
make sure that you really know who you really are. You are the divine self. You are that truth. Everyone is in truth, and living life from that space is so freeing. It's freeing. You don't feel controlled. You feel totally free.
Yeah, you don't fear
This this.
a lot of things. You don't fear a lot of things. Even the transition. You no longer fear death because you know that there's another realm.
Yeah.
That there is
So.
somewhere, it's another portal that you must go
Yeah.
through. I remember someone
That's.
telling me when my mother passed away, they said, you know, the birthing experience is very traumatic. You come in with pain and cramping, the expansion of the birth canal in a place between defecation and urination in a puddle of blood. And I was like, wow,
That's
what a
right.
visual. He says, but once you arrive, you see the bright light. You see everyone's there to greet you. They're happy. They're singing. They bought you gifts. They kiss you. They said it's the most beautiful experience. He says, but when you die, you have to go through another portal. And
Yes,
all
that's
of this
right.
meat suit and this temporary shell has to be shed so that the soul can be free. But know that when you get to the other side, there's another party. They're waiting for you. They'll come and get you. And I thought that that was so beautiful. So as I thought about all of that, I was like, okay, what I need to do is color in the white space and try to be the best person I can be in between that birth and that death by encapsulating and utilizing to the best of my ability every single breath. Well, let me ask you
That's
a
right.
question. Now you can share this if you want or if you don't want. During your experience, was that assisted by plant medicine? Because
No.
that is very popular now. A lot of
No,
people are doing
it was nothing to do with that at all. It came from within me. It was connecting with my own inner self.
Were you in
And
a hypnotic state,
it was an act
trance-like
of
state?
grace. No, I was just in meditation. I was in
Well, it meant,
meditation. I
well,
was in deep meditation and
okay.
I was surrendering. I felt safe, of course, in the spiritual space I was in, and I also I experienced it, I suppose, as an act of grace. It's an act of grace to actually come to the understanding and the experience of who we really are, and it's a divine right that we all have. We can all experience this, and we all do at various times in moments of seeing beauty around us, or of joyfulness, or of just heightened life experience from our own heart. We experience this. We don't need herbal medicine for this, or we don't need drugs for this. This is like, I suppose, our own divine light, our golden light, which is sort of everywhere. It's in everything. And the idea is, of course, to take this energy and to use it in a practical way in your life, to enhance your life. It's not some sort of woo-woo-woo experience that you just take and then forget.
Oh, you can't
I
go
ground.
woo-woo-woo with
There's
it.
no way you can forget it. You can see I'm just reading from my book that I wrote 20 years ago, and I'm having this incredible remembrance of it and this incredible
I know,
emotional
and I don't mean
experience
that
with
in
it.
any sort of, judgmental type of way, but I know
No.
now it's very, very popular that people are going to shamans and they are doing ayahuasca because
Yes, I
they
know.
want to do this transcendental meditation. That they want
No.
to go through the past life regressions, that they want to heal trauma. So that's it. I understand that there's regular meditation too, which you and I have both experienced, where mine is sometimes, again, very magical because I see colors. I see colors that I have never seen before. And I ask the universe to allow me to seek the light. I've never
And
asked to
you.
seek the golden light, and I will ask that, but I always ask for the white light, and I always start with like
Indeed.
the color purple, red. I have the root chakra. I always get that. But the golden era is, an aura around that. I can see people's auras at times as well. So all of that is very powerful. But what would you say to the person that is a little apprehensive of what we're talking about and saying that it is mysticism, that is mystics, that is, I mean, and there's people that are going to say that. What do you say to them?
I would say that yes, they're right. It is mystical. It is very mystical, but it is what I call a practical mysticism. It is bringing mysticism into practical reality in how it can help us in everyday life. It is being able to see life from a different perspective than we're sort of caught up in sometimes of going round and round, as you said, with the monkey mind going round and round and round in circles around a problem. And it's about seeing things from a different perspective that can then bring us to a positive solution in our lives. And that's what I felt grounded, very guided to do. And I did. I developed a whole system of herbal medicine, a whole system to ground this energy into practical everyday experiences. And in my golden light essences, my 44 golden light plant essences.
Now,
And
do you sell those or market those, or do you teach
yes, I
people
do.
how to
I
make them?
do.
Because we're here in the US and you're in Australia, it'd probably be a lot of hullabaloo to try to get those products here. As far as an online course to teach people about them and how to create them and use them, do you provide that as well?
Yes, I do. I have, first of all, written about them in my book. I have also had, I also conduct workshops and online courses about, yes, about how to make herbal medicines, how to make these essences. I've got a workshop coming up on the 18th of November. I have an open garden here at my magical healing garden, and we'll make an essence, and we'll also learn about how to use them and what they're about, and also how to use the oracle deck to divine essences for you, because all the cards have a particular essence on them, and they also are linked to the energies of the elements: fire, earth, air, water, and ether, pure spirit. So I've made elemental essences too from the platonic crystal solids for those. So the whole deck and the whole system that I've created is empowered by the golden light angels of healing. And for a whole year, we actually meditated on these essences here in the clinic, a group of us, and we did what the old homeopaths call provings. We proved them, we took them, we reported on the results that we received when taking them. We recorded them, and of course, I write about that in my book as well. And I also write about how certain people had certain experiences from taking the essence. For example, this wonderful essence of surrender that we were talking about too is what I call the iris versicolor, that beautiful iris flower helps us to surrender. And we've got to ask ourselves, what are we surrendering to? We're not surrendering to anyone else. We're not surrendering to anything. We're surrendering to our own golden hearts, to our own self, to our own real self. That's what we're surrendering to. So, Anne from Canberra wrote to me, and I included this in my book. She says, "Thank you for allowing me to experience these beautiful essences of yours. I've been applying 3 drops in my wrists and 2 drops under my tongue. When I apply the drops, I find myself immediately uplifted into a buoyant and joyous mood with a sense that all things are possible. For a short time afterwards, I feel cocooned in the soft, loving energy of the golden light, helping me feel expanded and connected to the whole. I feel at one with the greater essence of life, cocooned in bliss, knowing all things are possible. During this time of heightened awareness, it's easy to be positive and enthusiastic about life and to know deep within my core that what I dream about is possible and can be realized without a doubt. So it's a very uplifting, positive energy. It brings you into the positive energy of your sun energy, how you can shine your sun energy to the world and experience that and sort of, I suppose, wallow in it. You can see I've got this beautiful golden light
Absolutely,
backdrop here at
absolutely.
the moment.
It does. It makes perfect sense as to what's doing it. And brains, you can also, again, not be afraid of this. We don't have to spend a lot of time trying to convince you. There's certain things that you have to live. You have to feel the fear, yet do it anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
And you never know what's going to come out on the other side. But also, Patricia, what happens is with that new awakening, you're introduced to a new person. You're introduced to
Yes.
new opportunities, new challenges.
Yes.
So you need to really work with someone, brains like Patricia. Again, like I said, to help guide you through this, because there's going to be some missteps. There's going to be some misunderstandings. You're going to overthink it because it's powerful. I mean, it's like getting in a Ferrari. you gotta shift the gears. You gotta figure out how to control it, because it will take you there. It will take you there. So I want to ask you a few fun questions about you. Before we conclude, was there something else? Was I missing something, or did you want to?
I just wanted to add to that that this goal, once you connect with this golden light, it's like you said, it is powerful, it is profound, but you always feel supported. You always feel that support. And that's the wonderful thing, because it's you it's source energy, it's creator energy. And the more you start to become that, the more you feel that life is supporting you, that your experiences are supporting you, no matter what they are. You're sort of on the road. You're
Right.
on the path
That's right. You're in that Ferrari. You're
to
driving that car.
evolving.
Exactly. So what would you say to a 25-year-old self about this experience and this journey? If there was someone just starting out at 25 years old, you think you know everything. But what would be a conversation that you might have with yourself at the time?
Well, when I think back to what I was feeling at 25, I was a school teacher, regular high school teacher. I had not a clue about what I would be doing for the rest of my life. I didn't have a clue. I did, though, have a sort of, I suppose, a feeling of a heightened feeling of my spirit. I did have that, I think. So I would probably say to my 25-year-old self, to be aware that life has much more to offer you than you can even imagine, right? And also, when some things seem to go wrong, they're actually going right. They're actually taking you away of where you shouldn't be to where you should be. And that, but you can't always see that, right? And to be open to receiving good, to be open to receiving what life has to offer. And to follow your those inner promptings of your intuition, those messages that you get about, oh, where you should be, where you shouldn't be, who seems right for you, who doesn't, what situation seems right, what doesn't, to follow those sort of inner promptings that come up as being sort of real and being sort of valuable and true for you. That's
Exactly.
probably
So you have
where
to
I
really
was.
set the gauge in your internal compass. You
That's
have to
right.
understand when you set your intentions. That's the
Yeah.
first thing that you do in meditation is to set an intention.
That's right.
You know,
Yeah.
is it just to sit here and receive a message? Are you asking for guidance? Are you asking for healing? Are you asking for wisdom? Are you just, you know, asking for peace, love, harmony, and not just for yourself? Don't be selfish with
No.
it. The message is going to come to you for you, but it is a purpose for you to use it. That's like, you know, when I meditate and I get messages about this podcast and people like Patricia that I'm going to meet and talk to, I ask for bring me the best, the brightest, the most engaging, the most loving. I ask for people with a good intention, impactors, influencers, people that are going to make a difference in the world. I don't want people that's just going to sit here like lunch meat, big old pieces of baloney that are not going to at least attempt to make a difference. And there's 8 billion people on the planet. If you make an impact on 1, 2, 5, 10, you've done your work.
That's
You have
right.
done your work. And don't be afraid of the unknown. So, let's ask you, if you were an appliance in the kitchen of all places, what appliance would you be and why?
I think I would be a blender.
I know a lot of people that want to be a blender. Why would you want to mix it up?
Because I love sort of mixing and blending all the goodness of food, of energy, of of using my intuition about what to put in the blender,
Wow.
of creation, of creating something
I'd
that
be the
is.
spice grinder.
You'll be the spice grinder.
I'd be the spice grinder, exactly, because I like to, you know, spice it up. Be it
Yeah.
a little cayenne, some basil, some cilantro. Yeah, I love to
Yeah.
spice it up. That's good. If you were a flower out of all the beautiful flowers you grow in your garden, what flower would you be?
Yeah, I would have to say I would be the queen of the roses, the damask rose, the rose of Damascena from Damascus, the energy of the heart chakra. That's what I would be. And the smell is absolutely divine. And just smelling it just opens up your heart. It just heals the heart. It just enlivens your whole being. So, yeah, I would have to be this beautiful little, it's a wild rose. It doesn't look quite like many other roses, but it's incredibly
Yeah, my
powerful in
neighbor
its
has some of
aroma.
those. They come in white too.
Oh.
I think my neighbor has a bunch of them in their front
It's
yard.
hard to get. It's hard to get, and it's hard to grow. And I've given many cuttings to some people that it won't grow for. It won't grow for you if it doesn't want to.
Wow.
It has a mind of its own. It's the queen of the roses, the Rosa Damascena.
Rose of
The rose.
Damascena. We want to remember that. And in
Yeah.
closing, if you have three magical wishes for anything, you know, it doesn't have to be spiritual, metaphysical, it could be organic chocolate. What would those three wishes be?
Wow, three wishes. Yes. Yes, we have to be careful what we wish for because it can come
Yes, you
true.
do.
And
Yes.
then when it comes true, we might not have wanted it. So I would say the wishes that I have would be the one word that comes up for me quite a lot is that wish of peace, of feeling peace within my own being, of feeling peace with people around me, of yeah, that's a big wish that I have. Another wish that I have too, I suppose, is being able to wake up each morning and feeling enlivened, feeling like I want to face the day. That the day has something incredible for me. That's a wish, and it does often come true. Sometimes it doesn't, but sometimes it does. And probably the third wish I have is to have a feeling of living in abundance, having that abundant feeling, that feeling that I am creating abundance around me all the time, through my very being, and having that sort of, inner feeling of abundance, and that's not really connected to any one thing that I have or haven't got, but it just comes from within me.
Exactly.
And I feel that sometimes. I don't feel it all the time, but I do feel it sometimes, and it's just a wonderful feeling to feel that
Well, I feel it
connection.
all the time, and I think I feel it all the time because my biggest wish and thing that I always ask before I even get into my meditation is recognizing gratitude and what
Yeah.
I already have and what I am thankful for, good, bad, or indifferent, because there's a learning there. But the
Yes.
anticipation and expectations, you have to be clear with those. Because my mother used to say, just like you said, could you imagine if you got everything you wished for? You'd be a hot mess.
That's right.
So you have to be careful, facilitate it. If things don't come your way, know that that's a blessing too.
Yeah, I've had to learn
Because,
that. Yeah.
you're dodging a bullet that was not meant for you.
That's
Jealousy
right.
and
I've
envy.
dodged many bullets.
Exactly. Jealousy and envy and gossip and insecurity are also very dangerous because what is for you, Patricia, is not for April. What
That's
is
right.
for April is not for Mary. What is for Mary is not for Kim. Each
That's
one of
right.
us have our own destination, our own Akashic record, our own
That's right.
code, our own DNA that can be facilitated, worked with, designed. I wouldn't say manipulated, because you want to be careful what you try to manipulate and try to
Yes,
control. What the divine
yes.
has set for you, it's like people that want something that someone else has. It's not for you.
Okay. No,
You
it's
know,
actually
you
very
have to appreciate
destructive,
it.
that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I remember my mother telling me years ago how she was jealous of this little girl that was in her class. She had these beautiful ringlets, and one day one of the other girls cut one of her curls off, her ringlets off, and they laughed and this, that, and the other. And about 2 or 3 later years later, the little girl died of tuberculosis. So be careful what you're jealous of and envious of. You don't know. You have your own course of action, and to whom much is given, much is required. And so
Yes.
I want to thank you, Patricia, for being here on the edge with me and my brains. Tell them how they can purchase a copy of the book or the
Yes.
oracle cards. Or in addition to
Yes.
that, you have a offering for a free meditation. How can they access that as well?
Yes, I have posted those links to you. So if you can post those links up, yes, I do
Absolutely.
have a meditation to connect you with this golden light of healing. My books are available on my website, patriciahunica.com, and I think you're putting up that link for me. And I have a wonderful program coming up early November online, about creating your abundant golden life. And this is a sort of a culmination of all that I have taught about and experienced and shared with my clients for the last 20 years. I'll be bringing that together in a online program. And yes, there is some information too on my website about that. So yeah, I just continue to do whatever I'm inspired to do to share this with others.
So tell them the actual web address for the website.
Yes, it's www.patriciahunica, patriciahunike.com, patriciahunica.com. And
Okay,
I'm
and we
having
will
that
definitely
website
put that.
upgraded at the moment. Yeah.
That's fine. As we will put all the information in the show notes, and this interview is not going anywhere but to the Golden Light. It will resonate there forever. Brains, I need you to go in and love, like, share, and subscribe. Love, like, share, and subscribe. Leave a comment if there's any questions that you have, concerns, fears, even opposition, as long as it's constructive and respectful, because that is how we learn. That's how we define our message, so that it's clear, that it has a purpose, and that it helps you, because your brain's smartest people on the planet. thank you so much, Patricia, for being here with us on the edge. I adore you and the work that you do, and may that light always radiate.
Thank you. Thank you. I love being here with you today too, April.
All right.
And to everyone. Lots of golden light healing blessings to us all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And go get you some herbs.
Grow them in your garden.
Grow them in your garden. You know what? Let me ask you. Wait a minute. Hold on 1 second. Trisha, let me ask you a question about growing herbs. Because, you know, I'm growing the traditional thyme and basil and mint, those types of things. What's a good fertilizer? What is a good organic fertilizer? Someone told me banana water because it has a lot of potassium in them, or coffee grinds because it has a lot of nitrogen. What are some of the natural things that I can put to make my garden grow?
Well, the best thing is to have compost. Right beside my herbal garden is the altar of my herbal garden, which is our compost heap.
Really?
Compost. Yes. Compost with all the lovely little worms and all the lovely little bacteria. And of course, seaweed. Seaweed is a wonderful fertilizer.
Really?
Seaweed.
Okay.
Every time we go to the coast, we bring back seaweed. Yeah, to put in our compost heap. Compost. Compost all your organic wastes, all your vegetable peelings, all that stuff, you know, not meat, just vegetable stuff. Mm-hmm. Compost it. Chicken
and you know
manure,
what, that's
cow like, manure. Cow manure is fantastic.
Oh, my God, but the smell is horrific.
not dried cow manure. Dried cow manure doesn't smell at all.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. I've never had the dried. I remember putting manure on our grass, and oh my God, it would really grow, but the smell would drive me crazy.
No,
see, I'm a city girl. I don't know a lot about, you know, farming, and I'm growing some, what am I growing out there? I was growing some tomatoes and some strawberries and collard greens. I love fresh collard greens, those type of things. But actually, to go into the herbal medicines, let me ask you one thing that's very popular right now. Turmeric. Me and my husband are on turmeric now. We're taking the supplement.
Turmeric is.
But I want to actually start using it because I hear that it's a wonderful anti-inflammatory.
Yes, it is. It is sometimes in Ayurvedic medicine called the mother of herbs, the mother. So it has a lot of nurturing, mothering energy around it, but it is very anti-inflammatory. It's the ginger family, so it will help to settle, like ginger does. It helps to settle your digestive system. It helps to settle, you know, the inner fire element. That's why it's anti-inflammatory, because it sort of calms fire, but also if your fire is burning a bit low, it will bring it up, so it balances the fire energy within you. It's very soothing to the digestive system, and it basically does soothe inflammation in your body.
Yeah, and they say that it helps you sleep too.
Yeah, it can be. You can. A lot of people do a turmeric and milky sort of chai, they call it, to a milk, and if you're not allergic to milk, of course, can really calm your nervous system and help you sleep. Mm-hmm. Generally, what I do with herbs is I don't sort of say that this is good for this or that or whatever. I feel that herbs come to you when you need them, right? They're like living entities, and they'll come to you when you need them. And your awareness will come to, you know, the awareness of them will come to you as well. They speak to me, they tell me where to go and what to do, and they also have a particular energy that you might need at the time to move you on. So that's why I suggest people, you know, use my oracle cards with the herbs each day. You know, pull a card like we did today. We pull the mugwort card. I have mugwort growing in my garden. I've been very aware of mugwort at the moment. They have this sort of spiritual aspect as well as sort of physical aspects of you know, healing certain conditions, etc. And you need to know about those, of course, as well. But it's much more than just that, right? So
Exactly.
turmeric is the mother of herbs. It will bring you into a nurturing energy for yourself more. It will help you to be able to digest, nutrients from your food better. It will, it has a lot of really positive qualities, and that's why people are really into it at the moment, of course, too, because that's what we all need at the moment.
Exactly. We
Right?
need healing. Thank you for that.
Yeah.